Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Minister in the department, and everyone who is here with us this morning. Given the constraints of time, we are not going to go through, you know, introductions, but we'll go straight away to the presentation by the department. We need to apologize to the department as we were delayed due to the, you know, engagement with the delegation from Canada, and our apology. This morning we are going to get a presentation from the department. The meeting is open, members. Can we have one meeting, please? We are going to get a progress report from the department. I'll immediately hand over to the department to proceed with the presentation. Over to you, ma'am. We are in your capable hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the honorable members. We would like to, let me just introduce the team. We have here the DG, Dr. Nonhlanhla Mkhize, and DDG responsible for disability and children, Mr. Mzoli Sitoni. Next to him, DDG corporate services, advocate Nosisi Mabena. We also have the CFO responsible for the finances and the director for finances next to her, and lastly advocate Bina, responsible for legal services in the department. I'm not going to say much, Chairperson, except to say that as you will see in the report, we have moved in terms of resourcing the department. We have already filled all the key departments, vacancies in the department, including the chief, the DDGs, the chief directors, and there are just a few that will be finalized. They are being processed between now, this month, and the coming month, October. We surely believe that we will have filled up all the vacant posts. There are posts, you will see in the report, that we have scheduled for next year because of the budget that we received this year. That was our limitation. We also have interviewed and made recommendations on the DDG responsible for women empowerment and gender equality. As you know, that's a very senior post, so it goes through the Minister for Public Service and then is finalized by Cabinet. So it takes a little bit more time than most of the posts, but we hope that in the next 2 months we will have a DDG responsible for women. There are challenges. We have just filled up the positions in the disability sector. We have one chief director who has just come in. We hope that the next ones will be filled in October. So you will see that that is still a weak area, but we hope that, as I said, by the next 2 months we will have filled up that gap as well. I think on finance we've done very well. After engaging the CFO, we've now engaged directors and deputy directors. We now have in place the internal audit committee. Internal audit committee, which was a huge challenge that had also been raised by the Auditor General, but we, as I said, we think we are now comfortable in terms of setting systems in place and ensuring that we have controls, especially in the financial sector. I'm not going to go into more details except that we have had a very successful National Women's Month. We had a good National Women's Conference. We're just finalizing the report of that conference, which we will share with the portfolio committee. But it was not just the ministry. Various ministers that came to the conference and various ministers and departments and provinces as well as municipalities that participated in Women's Month. And it was just not just about women, about the month, it was about launching projects that will then be rolled out throughout the year. For instance, the Minister for Correctional Services launched a new unit in prisons where women who have got babies have now a mother and child unit where children, babies, can actually be brought up in a more conducive environment for young, for little children. And that will be rolled out. She launched one here in Cape Town at Portsmouth Prison, another one in Durban. She will then be going to other provinces, so at least in a province will have such a unit so that at least babies can be taken care of. But there are other projects. For instance, Minister for Mining has started a scholarship program with the mining industry, pledging to take girls into university to study geology, mining, engineering, and such crucial projects so that we can transform the male-dominated mining sector see more women in the future get into that sector. So is the Minister responsible for energy, and I won't go to the rest of the details. Minister for Economic Development has made pledges not only on funding and jobs but also capacity building and training. So has the Minister for Rural Development. Those of you that were at the conference would note the commitments that were made by various ministers. More than 15 ministers participated in the conference, and mostly to share programs related to women in their departments, but also commitments that they made. I think we also had a very successful Children's Week and the Children's Parliament. Again, we will share at a later date with the department in terms of what we have done during those weeks. And we are working very hard on the disability sector. We've had a very successful National Disability Machinery meeting. We have also met with the stakeholders, the PSA, and the South African Disability Alliance. We've also presented a report last week in New York to the committee, UN Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. South Africa was commended on their best practice, and particularly the fact that we have a ministry. Not many countries have a ministry dedicated to people, the rights of people with disabilities. We have 17 members of parliament who have disabilities. Many parliaments the world over have no members of parliament with disabilities. We also were the first, one of the first countries to ratify the UN Convention in 2007 already. We also have counselors who are persons with disabilities, and that report was tabled. I led the delegation with Deputy Director General, and our reports were well received at the UN. I think before I talk too much, I'll ask the DG to lead us in presenting the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Technologies. I was not aware that I do have in front of me here. So I had moved to that place so that it could be convenient for me. But thank you very much, Minister. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and colleagues. Thank you, Minister, for the overview that you've already given. It did give some details. The presentation that we are going to make today will be based on the request of the Portfolio Committee that we need to present on the expenditure for the financial year 2011-2012 from April until August, but also we are going to talk about the progress that we have made in as far as the programs for women, children and people with disabilities are concerned. When we look at the overall expenditure analysis for April 2011 to August 2011, we do have the green there, which is for allocation, and then expenditure is red. When we look at compensation, we have already spent 13 million. And the allocation is 34 million, goods and services 11 million, allocation 25 million, transfers, payments 13 million, allocation 55, and capital expenditure 2.4, whereas the allocation is 2.3. That's where there is an element of over expenditure, and then the total is 41 million against the allocation of 117 million. We will explain each and every item within the budget. With regards to the compensation expenditure analysis, honorable members will realize that it looks like there is under expenditure in as far as compensation of employees under administration, in fact in all the areas. The reason for that is that some colleagues have assumed duties on the 1st of September. Some will be assuming 1st of October. So when we're coming back for reporting, the graph would have changed in as far as the compensation of employees is concerned. This is the overall figure as it has been indicated with regards to the compensation of employees. Regarding the goods and services expenditure, you realize that under administration we've spent 9 million with the allocation of 15 million. Under women empowerment and gender equality, we've only spent 529 with the allocation of 3 million. Children's rights and responsibilities, 1.8 million, and the allocation is 3.5, and so on and so on. The details for these allocations are coming in the incoming slides. For instance, if we look at goods and services expenditure under the administration program, the budget is 16.6. We've already spent 7.6 million. And the cost drivers are domestic air travel, which is 663,000, foreign air travel, 1.1 million, foreign accommodation, 332,000, audit fees, and so on and so on. I would like to explain the following, that when you look at the domestic air travel, okay, the entire total here is made up of three categories. You'll find that there is expenditure that was incurred in the previous financial year, but only paid in this financial year. For instance, if you look at domestic air travel, even though the total is 663,000, but 389,000 was incurred in the previous financial year. If you look at the foreign air travel, which is 1.153 million, the 1.2 million, 1.12 was in the previous financial year. And if we look at the foreign accommodation, all the money that is registered here is from the prior financial year. Audit fees, we've paid the auditor general, and it's not a recurring expenditure because we've paid for the 2010-11 audit. Printing in the department is current. Venues and facilities is current, and the marketing and creating awareness is 878,000, which is current but not recurring. And then recruitment is for the past financial year because we have advertised during January and February, and then the amounts were paid in the following year. And then the personnel terms, we, because of the lack of capacity, there are critical posts where we had to get personnel as temp posts because we were migrating from the presidency to our own department, and therefore we needed people that will assist us in coming up with the systems and also managing those systems. We do need to present to honorable members and the minister that we are taking very, very seriously the issue of financial discipline. As a result, expenditure is monitored on a monthly basis, whereby a report is tabled to management, and also the cash flow reports are always given to the programs and responsibility managers so that they are in a position to manage closely their expenditure. We also need to say that we have approached Treasury for additional funding. Additional funding, as honorable members would know, will only come in two ways, which will be either through rollover funds or adjustments. We did then receive an amount of 25 million from Treasury as additional funding. But what we really need to take into consideration is that the rollover funding, when it is allocated by Treasury, it's ring-fenced. In other words, you can't use it for anything else except for what has been indicated by Treasury, that money is for that. And therefore, we have received for goods and services, we under administration, we have received an additional funding of 2.4 million, which will then bring the allocation to 17.7 million. The reason why we are still indicating our allocation as it appears in the ENE chapter of the department is because adjustments have not yet been done. They will be done in October, and then it will reflect in our as part of our baseline. When we come to goods and services expenditure for the WEG, the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality branch, the budget allocation was 3.5 million and the expenditure is 529,000. This obviously reflects as under expenditure. However, a lot of activities, as Minister has indicated, happened during the month of August, and therefore the expenditure in the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality branch will then appear in our next financial reporting as from September. In this branch, we did receive additional funding as well, amounting to 13.9 million, which will then bring the 3.5 million that was allocated as the baseline to 17.4 million. And these were ring-fenced for violence against women and children, that the 365 days plan of action, but also the envisaged council on gender-based violence. This amount of 8 million will take care of that for this financial year. And one of our, of the minister's priorities, as indicated previously in the portfolio committee, was on issues of rural women's development. We have been allocated 2.4 million to facilitate and coordinate rural women's development. National Women's Day event, which took place in Limpopo, we have been given 2 million. And AU Decade for African Women, as we know that there's a decade which started last year, and each and every year we have a particular theme. And the theme for this year is maternal health, maternal mortality and women's health as well. So we are going to use this to coordinate those programs within other departments. As indicated, this will then bring the allocation to women empowerment and gender equality under goods and services to 17.4 million. As already indicated, that the bulk of the expenditure that was incurred during the Women's Month under this program will then show in the September financial report, which includes the National Women's Day celebrations in Limpopo, which was 2.5 million. Even though Treasury has given us 2 million, but we did have some money in the baseline that we had then used. Print and publication, these are the materials that we've used in the National Women's Conference, as well as during the National Women's Day and in other activities that took place during the Women's Month. The rental of audiovisual equipment and translation services that we have also used in the during the conference, as members would know that it is a very expensive because we wanted the conference to be accessible to all the women that attended from all over the provinces, especially because our target was rural women. The electronic media services, which is community radio stations that are reaching out to people in the rural villages, creating awareness, we have used 495,000. Coming to goods and services for the children's rights and responsibilities, the budget allocation is 2.5 million and the expenditure is 1.8 million. The cost drivers are as follows. Communication and awareness is 1.341 million. We do need to indicate to honorable members that this communication and awareness, even though it is reflecting here as 1.3 million, but 1.2 million is an expenditure that was incurred in the previous financial year. During the World Cup, there was a big awareness campaign around protection of children during the World Cup, especially focusing on child trafficking, because it was anticipated that there will be a lot of trafficking of children, and therefore there was a focus on TV and also radios where the campaign rolled out. But then the payment was done in May 2011, which is 1.2 million, which therefore means it's 100 and something for communication and awareness that has been used this year during the Child Protection Week and also during the Children's Parliament. Venues and facilities, 351 that has been used for Children's Parliament and the National Children's Rights Machinery Meetings. We did receive additional funding under this program as well, amounting to 1 million. But this 1 million has been ring-fenced for the Sanitary Dignity Campaign so that we strengthen the coordination of that campaign for issues of sustainability, but so that it has an impact, because there are so many role players that are participating in this campaign. Therefore, it is necessary that we strengthen coordination. This will then bring this allocation to 3.5 million under goods and services. Rights of people with disabilities. As it has been indicated, the budget is 3.5 million, but the expenditure is only 354,000. We had challenges of capacity in this unit. However, we are addressing that, as Minister has indicated. We have received additional funding by means of rollover funds to the tune of 2.8 million, and it has been ring-fenced for the following programs: the Universal Access Campaign, the International Day for People with Disabilities, and the African Decade for Disabled People, as we know that it started in 2009. And that's the additional funding that we have received. Transfer payments. When we are talking about transfer payments, we are talking about phela mathe la phepha la. I'm sorry about that. When we're talking about transfer payments, honorable members, we are talking about the transfer payment that we are doing to the Commission on Gender Equality. We've already transferred 13.7 million out of the budget of 55 million. But you will realize that there is also a 21,000 which is there under administration. The reason for that 21,000 in expenditure where there is no allocation is the leave gratuity that was paid to one of the staff members that was leaving the public service. This is not the 21,000 that we spoke about in the previous financial year. That was another story. That was for Mr. Mbacha, that one. But this one is for Ms. Matsepe, who has also resigned. In case honorable members would wonder why this 21,000 is coming back. This is a new one. The other one was for the previous financial year. Under machinery and equipment, here we're talking about the furniture, the computers. As honorable members will know that we were starting from scratch. Those are things that we did not have as a department because we were housed in the presidency, in the union buildings, and we couldn't take anything from there. And therefore, the allocation of 2.3 million, we've already spent 2.4 million. However, this we will be able to normalize this over expenditure of 127,000 because we did receive an additional funding in the rollover funding, which is then 4.8 million, which will bring up then the 5.25, which will bring up the allocation to 5.8 million. Honorable members, this is the progress on recruitment, as Minister has indicated. I'm sure honorable members can go through the details. However, I would like us to shoot straight to slide number 22, whereby there's the summary where the total number of posts is 205. I would like to explain this part, honorable members, that in our last presentation with regards to the staff establishment of the department, we said the posts were 195. But now we are talking about 205 posts. There has been negotiations between our minister and the minister of the Department of Public Service and Administration because we had posts that were critical, that were not part of the structure as it was approved. For instance, if I can make an example of, we did not put in the structure did not have the risk manager, a post like those that needed to be added, and there has been negotiations between our minister and the minister of DPSA. As a result, we now have 10 additional posts. The field posts, we have made a significant progress in as far as the filling of vacant and funded posts are concerned. We have 114 in process, is 27. By in process, we mean that interviews have been done. Maybe we are still waiting for security screening or verification of qualifications and all those things. That is why we say in process. And therefore, the vacant post then is 65. We have agreed with Treasury that the vacant and unfunded posts, we will fill them in the 2012-13 financial year. So the 65 posts, we will fill them in the next financial year. We did an exercise as a department in identifying critical posts that will make us to be able to carry our work. And then we identify these posts, and the 65 that we are going to fill in the next financial year are therefore those posts that are vacant but unfunded for this financial year. I'm not sure whether Chairperson we take this part of the presentation or we continue do the entire presentation for different branches.
I think members will agree with me, you know, to economize time, to take all the presentations. I think we'll note down whatever we want to raise with the committee and then engage thereafter. Is that the case, member? Okay. I think we can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson, Minister, and Honourable Members. We will continue. The reason why I'm doing this presentation on women empowerment and gender equality, it's because we always, Minister always laughs at me when I say I'm the self-appointed acting DDG for women empowerment and gender equality, because the post is still vacant. We are in the process of filling that one. But the other branch will do the presentation. I'm sure honorable members are familiar with the strategic objectives of this branch. I will start in slide number 26. Most of the activities, the progress that has happened in this branch, the minister has alluded to in her opening remarks. Honourable members will remember that we had the issue about the ratification of the SADC protocol on gender and development. We have made a presentation to honourable members of the portfolio committee, and we facilitated the process of ratification of the protocol, and we are happy that it ended up being ratified in August. And what is going to happen now is that we will lodge the protocol or deposit the protocol with the SADC secretariat, but we will also now embark on the process of domesticating and popularizing the protocol through provincial consultations that we will have during September and October this year. We will then be able to compile a progress report on the SADC monitoring tool on the implementation of the protocol. And then we will also have consultative meetings with government departments, provinces, municipalities, and civil society organizations. These are some of the things that we could not do. For instance, we could not submit a report to SADC on progress that we have made as a country before the protocol was ratified. But in the meantime, we have also circulated the AU questionnaire on the progress made in the implementation of the gender equality and women empowerment, and we are now in the process of compiling this progress report, which should be submitted in November 2011. We are also coordinating and facilitating, Minister will be hosting sorry, there's a mistake here. In fact, it is not a SADC ministerial meeting. It is an AU ministerial meeting preparing for the COP17, so that this will happen in October 2011, so that we do have a position as women of Africa on the COP17, so that we can influence the outcome of the COP17. But there is also going to be a SADC ministerial meeting that is going to happen. The both SADC and AU. The 365 days national.
Yeah, people want to congratulate members for ratifying the protocol, especially during the month of women. In fact, in the last SADC ministerial that was in Namibia, we were really asked by SADC to ratify, because SADC could not implement the protocol before 13 countries had ratified. And South Africa was one of the countries that were abstaining, and they were really reprimanding us because we are one of the best leading countries on gender empowerment, and it should not have been a difficulty for us to ratify. So I really want to congratulate the members and Parliament for ratifying during the month of women in particular. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Minister.
And also just to add is that we have handed over to DECO. Foreign Affairs is now going to deposit the instrument with the SADC so that they can note that South Africa is one of the countries that has ratified.
Thanks, Minister. The 365 days National Action Plan, we have already developed the framework document, but also we do need to say that the National Action Plan that is existing, we are in the process of finalizing the reviewing of that National Action Plan. But critical here is also the issue of the envisaged National Council on Gender-Based Violence. There is progress that has happened in as far as that is concerned. For instance, Minister has consulted with cabinet committees, and at the level of officials, we have consulted with some DG committees. We are also going to the clusters of DGs, and we have consulted on this in the national conference, and we've consulted with the provinces. We will then, after cabinet has approved the council, then we will then come back to the committee and present it. We are very much encouraged by the fact that Treasury has already allocated some funding, some resources, so that we are able to push forward this issue of violence against women and children, especially because when the Minister of Police was tabling the statistics, even though in some areas the statistics have gone down, but in the area of violence against women and children, it has gone up. So it is very, very important that we fast-track this issue of the council that will be able to coordinate the 365 days plan of action, as well as the monitor and evaluate the response by government, including all departments and civil society as well. And this council it is envisaged that it will be chaired by the Deputy President of the Republic and championed by our Honorable Minister. The issue of the new growth path, we've all agreed that the new growth path is not talking to issues of gender and disability, and therefore we have started the process of engendering the new growth path. We've already had several meetings and workshops that we hosted in order to make sure that the new growth path is engendered, as well as the vision 2030 that has been tabled by Minister for the National Planning Commission. And therefore, at the moment, we are finalizing the report. We have given a copy of, we've submitted a copy of the draft report so that honorable members can have an idea of the work that we've been doing around engendering the new growth path. And fortunately, Minister managed to get Minister Patel to come and do a presentation at the National Women's Conference, and there were very specific commitments that were made by Minister Patel in as far as engendering the new growth path as well as the jobs fund. In fact, some of those specific commitments were around the fact that the jobs, the 5 million jobs, we will have to ensure that 50% of those jobs will go to women, and the jobs fund, we will have to make sure that 50% of the jobs fund goes to women. As a result, there is a specific official in the Department of Economic Development that has been allocated to us to work with to ensure that business plans from women are oncoming, and the Department of Economic Development is willing to assist women to compile a viable, I don't know whether that's the correct English word. Yes, viable business plans that will be fundable, those business plans. We have held the National Rural Women's Summit, as indicated that we Minister decided to focus more on rural women and women from the informal settlements. As a result, in this the reason for having this National Rural Women's Summit was also to talk on issues of the new growth path and the jobs fund, but also get input in as far as the green papers for rural development and land reform. And a resolution was taken in the summit, the national summit, that we will now do provincial rural women's summits. And in these provincial rural women's summits that are going to happen during September and October, we will then be able to get more input, but we will also be able to address issues of women and climate change. We'll be able to address issues of the gender equality bill. We'll be able to address issues of economic empowerment, especially for rural women. But also, we will be able to compile the report for the 56th session of the UN Commission on the Status of Women, because next year's theme for the Commission on the Status of Women in New York is around rural women. And therefore, we do need in these provincial summits that will lead to another national conference for rural women, where we will then consolidate our report that we will present in New York next year, because we really don't want a situation whereby we would like a situation whereby rural women will own the report that we will present in New York. Own it by participating in the development of the report. The Women's Month, as the Minister has indicated, I think this Women's Month 2011 was very successful. Why we are saying that? We're saying it was successful because there were tangible results. It was not, the activities were really not about events where we will come, eat, sing, and go, listen to speeches. But there were tangible activities that are not a once-off, that are ongoing. For instance, we started with the celebration of the Pan African Women's Day, which was on 31 July in Beachwood. In that celebration, even though we were celebrating the Pan African Women's Day, however, we managed to come up with a program for the African decade, the AU decade for African women, so that, for instance, the theme for this year is around health, and the Minister of Health, Minister Mtsoaledi, was there with a program that will be rolled out in government with regards to maternal mortality and also women's health, the reproductive rights and everything, HIV and AIDS as well. And there was a declaration or an MOU that was signed between our minister and Minister Mtsoaledi on how to take the program forward. In the conference, which happened on the 1st until the 3rd, of August, there are resolutions that are crafting the way forward for the agenda. For instance, we discussed the gender equality bill, the policy towards the gender equality bill. We discussed violence against women and children. We discussed economic empowerment. As Minister has indicated, all the ministers that made presentations there, it was not a matter of a talk shop, but the question was that, what is your department going to do? What are the programs that are there in your department that are going to be rolled over for the next 3 years for women, empowerment of women, and addressing issues of gender equality? And all the other activities, be it in mining, be it in health, be it correctional services, were tangible things. But it was also important that the National Women's Day, because at some point we do need to celebrate being women, and we do need to celebrate the gains that we have made as a country and the progress that we have done. And also, there are very, very critical pronunciations that were made by His Excellency the President on that day that are crafting the agenda that we need to follow as the department. And
the program of the Techno Girls is one of the very, very critical programs focusing on the empowerment of the girl child. We are very encouraged by the fact that more departments and more companies in the private sector are now willing to take on the girls, so that they get this experience, especially in the areas which were previously dominated by men, which is the STEM, science, engineering, maths, and technology. Those areas, and that is why we are pushing this TechnoGirl program. The issue of gender mainstreaming training. The challenge that we are facing at the moment is that we do need to do this constant training, especially of government officials, on gender mainstreaming, so that we all have the same understanding of what mainstreaming is about. And we are in the process of finalizing the mainstreaming strategy for the department, because we realized that it is not necessary, even though we had committed that we will have a gender mainstreaming strategy, disability strategy, and the children's rights mainstreaming strategy. But we decided that we are going to have one mainstreaming strategy, so that we are all at the same level of understanding. And what will be different, therefore, will be the implementation part with indicators and targets, where then we will have gender-specific, disability-specific, and children's rights-specific. These are the main achievements that we've already spoken about in the presentation. We felt, Minister and Honourable Members, that we needed to put this information here so that we give an indication that there is progress that we are doing in as far as the gender equality bill is concerned. There is a task team that is already in place, which is made up of ourselves, the internally these units in the department, but externally we have the technical assistance unit from Treasury, which is receiving funding from the GIZ, and we have the Commission on Gender Equality, and we also have the state law advisors that are part of the task team that is working in this area. We've already, because we there's a lot of work that has happened in as far as the policy side is concerned, and that work happened even before this ministry and department was established. Honourable Members will remember that we already have in place the National Policy Framework for Gender Equality and Women Empowerment, which is a white paper on its own. And therefore, what we are doing at the moment, we are beefing up that, reviewing it, so that we also take into consideration emerging issues that may not have been there when the policy was developed. And we are finalizing now that process. But these processes are running parallel, because the drafting of the Gender Equality Bill is happening, has already started, where we are working with the legal services in our department, TAU and the CGE, as well as the state law advisors. So we felt that we needed to update Honourable Members in as far as that is concerned. I will now hand over to DTG Tony to do the branch children's rights and responsibilities.
I just add that DG on the domestic workers' rights, we sent Advocate Pinar to Geneva, where she participated with the Department of Labor officials and the representatives of the Domestic Workers Union. And there was a very progressive international convention that was adopted to improve the rights and working conditions of domestic workers. And on coming back, she has been busy working with the Department of Labor legal unit, as well as the Domestic Workers Union, to assist us in developing a law that will entrench the rights of domestic workers and improve their working conditions. And probably when there is time, we'll come and share a broader report on that work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure whether I should proceed. Thank you. Chair, honorable members, minister, and colleagues, we're going to present some work that has been done by Children's Unit together with the Disability Unit. I would also not go through the main objectives because I think they are understood by the honorable members. With regards to children, the DG has spoken about the main document.
Geneva, they were attending the ILO conference. Sorry.
Okay. With regards to the issue of mainstreaming strategy, DG has spoken about it and that each unit or branch is making an input specifically then, that's what we are currently doing it, and we were looking at making sure that the whole strategy has the section specifically for children. The other key area of work within the children's unit is around the National Plan of Action for Children. We have also worked on the old document and we developed a new draft. What we're planning to do, we in the next session, which is September, October, we will do consultation with government departments, provinces, municipalities, and children's rights within civil society. So that we're able to make further input onto the document. The DG has also spoken about the issue around sanitary dignity campaign. Within the department, we're taking a decision because the minister is encouraging that there should be no silos in the way that we do our work, that we work together, and that certain key areas are driven by certain specific areas within the project. And the sanitary dignity campaign is driven within the children's unit. There's been consultation and information gathered on the status of the sanitary dignity initiative. DG has spoken that this area is done by various departments, correctional services, Department of Social Development, Department of Health, Department of Education, specifically looking at the area of work, whether it has to do with school children or disabled people. So what we're doing, we're trying to coordinate, as DJ has mentioned earlier, strengthening the coordination of that work so that at the end of the day, we're ensuring that this issue of sanitary dignity campaign does benefit those people that are directly affected, but also it strengthens their economic participation in the area. Then then there's an area where we deal with the campaign on the mother-to-child transmission on HIV and AIDS and child mortality, which, you know, was mentioned earlier. We're doing discussions held with partnership with Department of Health, SANEC, and World Health Organization. We focusing there's a section within the department that is working directly with SANEC and the Department of Health in ensuring that the department does directly participate and ensuring that disabled people, children, and women are benefiting from some of these processes. There's an ongoing discussion and planning for joint campaigns with the Department of Health and an unfolding appointments secured through the intersectional unit, so which is the unit within our department, which actually drive this area. The advocacy material will be developed in the next planning of our activities for the next planning reporting period. The another critical area is around education for all campaign. Education for all children campaign. We also here are looking at ensuring that we not necessarily looking at those children that are already protected. That is those that are already attending school, but though we're focusing mostly on those that their chances of attending schools are very remote. Like child-headed household, like children in rural areas, disabled children, that are those especially those that are severely disabled. So there's in this case there's consultation sessions that we're doing with the Department of Basic Education, because we want to make sure that as we do this work, we work directly with the department that is supposed to make sure that there's success in the work that we're supposed to be doing. There would be, in the next reporting period, a provincial rollout, because we would have spoken, especially with Department of Education, in terms of how we're going to planning to do this, and also the Department of Social Development, Department of Health. We will finalize those collaboration. We also drafting a memo to provinces so that our units within the provinces are able to also incrementally make sure that those kids that we wanting to target are actually identified. The children's rights machinery meetings, there's already one meeting that has been held during the 4th and 5th of April this year. There has been an agreement on the strategic plan of the department during that meeting. We're now planning to have the next machinery meeting where some of the work that we have done will be reflected with the machinery and looking at how we need to strengthen the work that needs to be done moving forward. So the next meeting that is planned for September. We would want to share with them the working documents that have been developed. The National and International Children's Day commemorated. Here we have already developed the concept document. Through the support of the minister, we have commemorated of the International Children's Day and the Day of the African Child during the Child Protection Week, and a lot of children have participated during the 1st of June. We have targeted provinces like Mpumalanga and Free State in terms of where these events were taking place. There's a partnership, as we're looking at establishing partnership with the presidency and the provinces on the hosting of the National Children's Day. You'll remember the event is for the 5th of November. We're working harder in terms of making sure that there would be concrete plans way before the time, so that the honorable members would recall that there's strictness in terms of participation of children on some of these events, that we must respect the time that children are supposed to spend at school. So we want to make sure that these plans are properly planned, or these events are properly planned, so that they're not interfering with the learning of for the children. And there's also, DJ has spoken about the COP17. We're working with UNICEF in this area because we think that climate change has a direct impact to the lives and livelihood of children, and would want to make sure that children directly participate and are exposed in terms of what are the issues that are involved with some of these processes and how those are impacting on their future and how they are supposed to make sure that their future is protected. So there would be a parallel section, sessions that children would have through the department and other stakeholders. We also consulting with DERCO with regards to this. The other area that we're looking at is the strengthening and support of the NPS institutional arrangements and structures. What we're doing here is consultations. We conducted consultation with government departments, provincial and municipal focal points through the machinery meetings. So during the machinery meetings, we use that opportunity to make sure that there is engagement in this area. We will collate inputs from stakeholders into the capacity building strategic plans in terms of how we make sure that the National Plan of Action for Children is engendered in terms of provinces and municipalities. The other area that there's still relative progress in terms of making sure that there's work done is around child-friendly cities. We had hoped that we would have made a significant rollout in this area, but we have actually for now developing and wanting to pilot it in the Tshwane area, but looking at actually working at three municipalities. I know that there's high expectation in terms of how this would actually benefit communities at local level. We have formalized, as I said, an agreement with UNICEF, Save the Children UK, and City of Tshwane to pilot the child-friendly cities model. We were actually in this area delayed by also the formation and the finalization and the implementation of the work after the local government elections, so that we had to allow the settlement of those councillors that have and mayors, so that they are able to make sure that the rate is done. So now that this has been settled, we're now working on making sure that there's a direct engagement, and that we're hoping the implementation of the child-friendly initiative in Tshwane will take place. The next area is the 365 days. Also in this of no violence against women and children. This is also an area where it's cutting across within the department, and this area is then run within WEDGE, and we collaborating as within the department in ensuring that issues of children disability are driven within the 365 days. We, as a children's unit, we have provided input to the National Plan of Action of the 365 days of no violence against women. We present the plan and receive input from children's rights. That's what we're going to do. Especially, we would use the machinery meeting in September to make sure that the area is... There's a contribution from civil society within this area. Again, there's the area around M&E, which is a core area of the department. There's also an agreement within the department that in enhancing cross-pollination of work within the department and undermining the silo work, the way that we approach our work, this area is directed by the children's unit, working with all the other units within the department. There is a discussion document on the M&E strategy developed, and that we're looking at collaborating, for instance, with the presidency, the section around monitoring and evaluation. The terms of reference for diagnostic review developed. We have, as I've said, engaged the DPME in the presidency on government-wide M&E, because we don't want to have a document that will contradict what the government is all about. In the next planned activities, we would want to conduct diagnostic review just to make sure that the tool that we're using does make sense and is effective. We also want to conduct stakeholder workshops in the next quarter. The other area, Chairperson and Honorable Members, is the area around study on child killings. People would remember that there was a report that was developed around this area. We had convened and planned with key departments in this area so that at least we can make sure that this thing is properly coordinated. We have discussed that developed report, and we felt that we needed to do additional work in order to make sure that we elevate this area. We have since developed a questionnaire, and we are trying to collate data on the roles and responsibility of departments when child killings and murder. We partnered with UNICEF, which has actually done a study on this area with the other countries, so that at least we can have references in terms of what has happened in other countries. We have sent in the next planned activities with working towards sending a TOR out for making sure that we can deal with the matter. Then we're sending out a questionnaire and collate information to compile a protocol of the role of government departments when children are murdered, so that at least we're able to receive concrete information and have evidence in terms of what we're saying. The issue around the 2002-2007 UNCRC report, we have final consultation with departments conducted.
I just wanted to add to the child killings report. There was a report which was done, I think, about some 2 years ago, a research study. But that was only focusing on interviews that were made with inmates, inmates that had killed children. So we thought that it was really a one-sided report, or it highlighted one view, and we thought that it is important for us as government to enable us to take an informed action on this matter, crucial matter, for us to broaden that report and to involve stakeholders, for instance, NGOs that are working with children, involve other departments that are working with children. For instance, social development was never involved. SAPS was never involved in that other report. So we are now working with the broader stakeholders for us to come out with a more comprehensive report that will then be able to inform government policy and action relating to child killings and murder. And we thought that also international experience will assist us. That is why we have also formed a partnership with UNICEF in this regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Minister. Thanks. With regards to UNCRC report, we have concluded the 2002 and 2007 reports. They are available, and we're hoping that these would be processed through so that both Cabinet and Parliament are able to note them. We have already developed an action plan for submission of the 2013. Honourable members would remember that we're already trying to make sure that we catch up with regards to our international obligations with regards to these instruments. We would want to convene departments to agree on plan and their roles during the September month. So that's what we're going to do in preparation to making sure that the plan would work for us. We would also conduct consultation, which is the next activity planned for the next quarter, with civil society and provinces on the NCSRC 2013 report. I wouldn't want to go through, these are just key areas that I've already mentioned on my main report. Chair, I will quickly go to disability so that at least I'm able not to eat much to your time. the same thing with disability, Chair, through you. Okay, I'll try that.
Can I also just explain the last report, 2002 and 2007 UN report on children's rights? We have not reported, and unfortunately, we can't send these two reports to the UN. So, because the contents of the reports are outdated, as you would expect, Honourable Members. We have then written to the committee, UN Committee on Children, and asked for permission that we do not submit these reports. And next year we are expected to submit the 2013 report. And therefore we have asked for permission to perhaps attach these reports as perhaps a resource to the committee that will then be part or be attached to the 2013 report. We are also submitting these reports to Cabinet and to report to Cabinet that we have not been able to submit them in time and we'll attach them to the 2013 report, which South Africa is expected to submit to the UN in 2012, that is middle of next year. We may submit to Parliament if the committee so wishes, but they, as I said, they are outdated, and perhaps they will then be submitted, as I said, next year when we finalize the next report, which will be considered by the UN in 2013. But it's up to the members in terms of whether they would like us to share the information with them or whether we can submit those reports next year when we submit to Parliament in preparation for the UN. Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, to assist with economizing time, I will just go through the main achievement with regards to disability. And I think the DG spoke about the incremental growth within the disability unit, because we're trying to make sure that we are fully staffed so that at least we're able to move with the work at hand. The key areas here of achievement was we have actually met with the disability machinery, and as the minister spoke earlier in his introductory remarks, that we needed the relationship between the department and the disability sector was not so good, so we had to work on that. And our first meeting was on the 14th and 15th of July, which resolved that we needed to work with the sector in ensuring that we're able to submit nominations around the committee, for the Committee of Experts, which names are supposed to be going through the processes of government, and then also through the AU processes to UN. We also working hard in ensuring that the UN country report, which is already late, as the minister alluded, also with the children's one, so that this area is already implemented. We are supposed to domesticate the UN Convention, and to do so, we would, as a country, expected through our obligation to make sure that there is a policy that speaks to that. Otherwise, the Convention alone would not make sure that it directly protects the rights of disabled people in South Africa. So that's the work that we currently working on. We are improving the current draft, looking at key targets there, and so that they align to present, making targets, concrete targets that are aligned to indicators. The DPOs are also working, because there has been some discussion and consultation with the DPOs with regards to a disability policy in South Africa, which could lead most probably to a bill. We have also consulted in this area at the NEDLAC level, so that we make sure that other stakeholders, for instance, business, labor, and community are participating and ensuring that they understood, are sensitive on the issues of disability. The other issue was the issue of ensuring that assistive devices are accessible to disabled people, or disabled people are able to get these devices so that they assist in their participation. And we've done a lot of work in the area of Eshowe with regards to this. And we're working closely with AXA, which is the partner that helps us with regards to assisting disabled people to get assistive devices. The issue of reasonable accommodation is an area that we're working closely with the Department of Labor and DPSA in ensuring that because part of the issue that is making slow employment of disabled people is the understanding of reasonable accommodation, and we're trying to work with employers to improve their understanding and therefore ensuring that there's access to employment for disabled people. Collating, as I said earlier, that the UNCRP, the country report, we're working on that. We also developing the implementation plan for the convention. We're working assisting the NYDA in the mainstreaming strategy for disability. The department has also worked closely with, for instance, the sport, the Special Olympics sport in South Africa, which actually accommodates disabled people and children with intellectual disability, and there has been quite an improvement in the participation of intellectually impaired disabled youth in this area, and the team that represented South Africa at Athens in Greece came up with a number of medals, which the minister was also able to officiate in some of the sporting codes at Athens. We also had provided and attended the World Congress of the Deaf, which was held in Durban, and also this is an area where we're working with outside partners in ensuring that issues of assistive devices with regards to hearing aids, especially for children, are made available, and there was a huge donation from and from Germany, which made these assistive devices available. We also in making sure that we elevate the issue of schooling for disabled children, we have worked closely with SABC Touching Lives, and we've making sure that there was a huge event that took place here in Cape Town with regards to Thembalethu to special schools, where a hostel was built so that children don't have to wake up very early and go home again, having traveled long distances. So that is making sure that children can get quality education and they can be ready and prepared to receive it. We also working in the area of employment of disabled people, where we visiting also call centers so that at least we make sure that there's broader understanding with regards to this. Chairperson, those are some of the key areas that we would want to share with the portfolio committee, and I would want to stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Minister, and the DG and the DDG for persons with disabilities for your comprehensive report. I'm not going to take much time in commenting. I will be able to do that at the end, but let me rather give this opportunity to members. I hope that they are ready to then come up with comments, questions of clarity. And over to you, members. Can I note hands? Honourable Member Robinson, Peterson, Member Kiki, Member Sake, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. There is so much to say. It's actually unfortunate that we've got so little time. I wonder whether one can't have another session as well. But I'll be quick with just a couple of technicalities. Could I just say that this is the third presentation. I received two yesterday. And I think we are sending so much paper just on getting the information out to us. And then it is actually not matching up. So what I prepared last night and worked on was this, but this doesn't match up with this. So therefore, the pages are different and the information and questions that I really thought were serious last night are not occurring here. I will still see if I can try and bring them in. Another thing, you use these banner headlines, and they look very nice on the screen, but they come out as black for us when they are photocopied. So it's actually difficult to read this. So just to help us a little bit, that would be really great. So another little technicality, we've had such a change of staff and so many new appointments. We'd like to get to know you personally. We can't always grasp the names immediately. May I ask that you fix your names to the presentation or whatever, or let's just have a list of who the new staff members are, and also to our committee secretary, if we could have your contact details, cell phones and emails and that sort of thing, so that we can build up a relationship. You have so much wealth of information, and I'm sitting here saying to myself, why didn't I know this? I wish I knew this. And I think if we could have more of an interaction apart from just this, it would be really good. And Minister, I must compliment you again, just saying, for being available and for having given a new energy to this department and to this ministry. I really think we are getting somewhere, so this is really great. And I'd like to say many things, but I know other people also want to speak. So you mentioned that we had been complimented on the disability. Was this the agreement, whatever? Yeah, all right. I'm glad about that. But my experience of what's happening within disability, within schools, within institutions and so on, is very different. So I think we need to try and match up and say, yes, you've made a start. You were looking at institutions that are bad, where the staffing is, people aren't properly trained and so on. Another thing, if you, I didn't know about your being here at Tembeletu when you were opening up the new hostel. Would have loved to have been there. So some of these really big events, if we could perhaps know about that so that we can be there and see and show our concern. The assistive devices, particularly hearing aids, and then you refer to AXA, and I think I know that is mainly wheelchairs. I don't know whether you've got other things as well. There again, we often receive requests in our communities for assistance, and where can one get hold of these? Now, I wasn't aware that you were, in fact, the source of this. I thought it might have been social development. Are there details where we can find out if we know of a really needy case? You know, do we as members have access to what you have? I'll leave it at that for the moment because I think there are lots of other questions. I'll come back later. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to thank the department really for the hard work they are doing. Chairperson, I think I've got just one or two questions, I think. The department spoke about targeting children that are severely disabled. I just wanted to know here, Chairperson, how many children were identified that were not accessing schools? That's number one. And then the second one, during the recent visit to the Eastern Cape, the committee visited three schools there for children with disabilities. And we found out that, however, the schools were unaware of the audit by the department. How far is this process? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I must also thank the department for the good work. We are coming a long way, as we all know. But there's something that I need the clarity on. More or less, what is the time frame for the equality bill to be ready? And secondly, the issue of the techno girls. I think it's a good concept. But we do not have enough time to discuss it right now. But I think we need more clarification on this particular issue, whether they will be starting at a lower at the lower grades, or is it at a high school level from standard 10 and so on, because now we would prefer girls to be trained, to be prepared for this as early as possible. And then the another issue, Minister, what happened to the ukuthwala? It's not in the report. It's not contained in the report. And also there's a bill that was made. It was early this year. I don't know whether it passed to Parliament. I was not here sometime last semester. The human trafficking bill. Who is monitoring it? Because I think it affects women as well as children. So I think the committee, I mean the department, is supposed to be monitoring that particular bill as well. Thanks.
So thank you, Chairperson, and let me also join our honourable members in thanking the department for its reporting. Unfortunately, time is behind us, Chairperson, and the document is too big. I wanted to add on what Robinson has said, especially on page 8, DG, that the information that we have presented is not the same as the ones we are having in our own document. It's incomplete. The other comment, Chair, is on the issue. Let me congratulate also the department in coming up with or consolidating the reports, because I raised it in my budget vote because I was dealing with the children's issues on the issue of the reporting on the Convention of the Rights of the Child and the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. And I think the department has indicated that they have finalized those documents, though they are outdated as we are speaking. But I think it is of importance that we receive that document so that we can be able to, even if the information is outdated, so that we can be able to get information and be part of the next coming country report, which will be in 2013. And thirdly, Chair, I think we have witnessed this thing both in the media and on the opening of the facility in Tamale too. I just wanted to check whether was there any cost incurred by the department, or it was just partnership with SABC and other departments. And on slide 68, you have also indicated that you have provided support to the National Youth Development Agency regarding the mainstreaming disability issues into the agency's program. Chair, my question will be, what were the outcomes of this consultation? And what were the recommendations made specifically in relation to young people with disabilities? Thank you. The last one, Chair. On our oversight to both Eastern Cape and Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, we have found that there are some successes that our government is doing and also some challenges. But I think we won't be able to raise them now because there are so many challenges that are facing children out there and persons with disabilities. I think the department will be able to get the report once we have adopted it as committee and as parliament so that they can be able to assist us in addressing those challenges, more especially to those a vulnerable group that we have visited. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Sele. Second, and then I will take Member Bly.
Sir Person, thank you very much. I'm not feeling 100% well now of late. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm with the minister or he's the heat. Chair, thank you very much to the department for...
I thought we were friends, honorable member.
We are. Thank you very much, Chair, for the department, for the presentation. My questions, I think I've got only two. or three, it will depend. But I think really the time is against us. And this information that we have today is a very fruitful information. I would like to know, Chairperson, on children's rights machinery meetings, who forms part of the machinery? One. Two, what was the outcome of the initial machinery meetings? And also, Chairperson, I will go to International Children's Day. What was the cost incurred for these events? What were the outcomes, and how did this initiative fit into long-term sustainable outputs that will enhance the lives of the children? Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Member Bly. Member Robinson, you want to take another bite before your questions are responded to?
Those were just the two I was saying I just had to find quickly, so I'll be very quick on this one. I'm just concerned about the financials. There's a lot of money being spent on admin. It's over 50%, and I'm just wondering about that. And then salary bills. Salary bills are very high. And when I look at the salaries, and that wasn't in this presentation, but in the one that we had last night, everybody seems to be appointed as a director or a deputy director or something like that. We've got 64 directors, almost a third of all the staff. And there's very few people who are, what may I call them, workers. I know you're all working, and I do compliment you, but as admin staff, and I'm just wondering about this. Have we got the balance right? You know, it's just a very expensive salary bill to pay, and I was just wondering about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Robinson. Let me just add two questions before you respond. My first one, actually the other one is a comment about the mainstreaming. I think if we can also get an indication as to when this is going to happen. And secondly, Minister, this has been coming out often from members to say that, can members please be informed when there are activities in their provinces so that they can avail themselves when they are available. And the last one was about I just wanted to emphasize the mentioned by members again to say that I think the committee would appreciate to get those two reports, outdated reports, just for them to go through them. Thank you. As to when is this a mainstreaming is going to take place, training?
Thank you, Chair. I'll just answer some of the questions, but the DG and the rest of the delegation will come in, I'm sure. I think, Chairperson, I'm not sure which report came to the members and which not, but I know that there were a few additions. For instance, I had complained that they didn't have targets in some of the reports they had and time frames, and I know that this is important for Parliament to know what are our targets, what are our deadlines. So maybe though that affected the structure of the report, I'm not sure about that. But let me just apologize if there is a problem that or inconvenience for the members. But we're just trying to make the report more useful, because I know you want to monitor us, and the next meeting you come and say, you said in September you'll do 1, 2, 3, and has it happened? I just want to comment on a few questions. And the salary bill, I think in the first place, our budget was too low. We started at 50 million or 60 million. And this is a department that must monitor and oversee, actually, other departments. And it is a department, therefore, that must have experts. And because we need people who are experienced and people who are experts in these areas, we will need senior people. We had a lot of what the honorable members were saying, workers. And I must say that there was no capacity. That's why we're coming every day and we're saying there's no capacity. And that's why, for instance, UN reports could not be submitted. I don't want to blame my predecessors, but looking at the capacity we had in this department, I don't think we had people that could produce reports that will can put to the world. Even when we talk about the child killings, we had a report that was a very narrow perspective of what this critical issue was all about, simply because we didn't have capacity. The highest person who was heading the department was a director. And therefore, for us to do the new, to implement the new mandate that we have been given of overseeing, monitoring and evaluating, we do need high-level people. And so in the coming year, I am sure we are hopeful that we will get a more adequate and reasonable budget. And I don't think there will be much difference. I mean, there will be such a small gap in terms of administration and the program budget and the work that must be done. So I hope I've answered Honorable Robinson's concern on, as it is now, we're employing chief directors and directors because they were not there, simply not there. And these are the people that can do tools for mainstreaming, that can produce tools for monitoring and evaluating, that can do the capacity that we're talking about, training of others. You can't take Impumpute to train another Impumpute. You have to have an expert who can then transfer the expertise to the next person. I also, yes, the new staff, that is the reason. Again, we're having new staff, and maybe let me just mention the ones that are here. Some of them I'm not sure I remember the names myself, but this is DDG. Tony, I know, I think you know DJ Mkhize, DDG Mabena, and CFO Matebese. CFO, can you introduce the director?
Is that that?
Llewellyn.
It's a difficult name.
Llewellyn Low.
We have Advocate Pinar. Karen Binan. And maybe as we go along, members will remember the names. There are others at the back. They are old and new. My advisor is an old head. We have Mr. Mngadi is a communication officer. I'm sure he's old. We have the new one. We have my chief of staff, Tsego Makhuwa. I think he's old. I hope she's old. And my parliamentary officer, Sipiwo Machoba, old. Thank you. Val, we have Val Matebula, who is Matovele, is old. She's new in this department. She's heading the DG's office. Okay, thank you. I do accept that we should invite honorable members, but sometimes members are in recess. It's difficult to get them, but we'll try. Perhaps, Chairperson, you have a way of getting them. We will try and invite members. Okay. We'll try and invite members at all times. Assistive devices, the DG will help me, but we don't have, we're not the source, but we have formed partnerships. We work very closely with the Department of Health and the Department of Social Development. Mainly the source in government is the Department of Health, who in their hospitals and clinics, they have wheelchairs, they have hearing aids, and they have glasses as well. They are not smart, you know, the smart ones, but they are useful for people who cannot afford to or don't have medical aid. So we simply liaise with those departments to ensure that wherever there is a need, we deliver wheelchairs. AXA has started a factory that produces assistive devices, and they are working directly with us very closely. But I would advise members to inform the department, but also I'm sure members can work directly with the Department of Health, which is more accessible in our constituencies. Severely disabled children. I do accept that, Honorable Robinson, we have serious problems in our schools and in other sectors of society. But I think as a country, we were complimented. I think we're the only country that has a deputy minister who has a disability, that has members, so many members of parliament who have got disabilities, that has actually set up a ministry that focuses on people with disabilities. Those were the best practices that South Africa has been complimented on. And we do have challenges, we do not deny that. And also that we were the first country to sign and ratify the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Now, implementation, of course, is always a challenge of that right, of that convention, which is what Honorable Robinson is referring to. But that is why we're now looking at domesticating the convention so that it becomes the law in the country. And then we can follow up with different ministries to say we must have access in transport, we must have access in government buildings, we must have access, and we have a policy on inclusive education. Implementation is a question, is a challenge again. So some principals don't want to take children with disabilities. They don't understand the issue. Some parents think children with disabilities are sick, they must stay at home. So that's why we're talking about an access, universal access campaign, which we hope honorable members will help us. We must go to schools and tell teachers that we have a policy in the country, inclusive education. Every school must be open for children with disabilities. If it's a double story, like in Waterkloof, they have double story schools, they must ensure on the first floor, the class for a child with disabilities is there on the first floor. And that is what principals must do and must organize, because this is a law in the country. Parents must also work together and ensure that we must support parents with disabled children so that they are also trained, raise awareness how to deal with that disability, because some of the parents don't know how to deal with a child with disabilities, and therefore also that those children have got the same rights that ordinary children have, and they have the right to education. And those are the issues that going forward we'll be dealing with. Yeah. Yes, for instance, DG is reminding me that at Tembalethu, we met a mother who has two children. One was 17 years, Umpepile Mkolo, you know, can't walk, can't do anything. The other one is crawling, also is 8 years old, is holding her. How do you take those kids every day to school as a mother? And then she was a Tembaleto, and Tembaleto said, we can't take these children. I don't know where they're supposed to go, but the fact is Tembaleto has a hostel. Other schools don't have a hostel. Now, even our departments, you know, and our provinces must find a way of, you know, being supportive and accommodative of the challenges that we're having out there. Also, the number, Honorable Peterson, the number of severely disabled children, we're still in the process of doing the audit. And as you can see, I think it's slide 62, we are working closely with the HSRC to assist us in analyzing the data. We do have a report that was developed by the Department of Basic Education. Unfortunately, we don't have sufficient budget to go full force on our own. So we're working with relevant stakeholders. We're working with Basic Education, who have a report. We're working with the Human Science and HSRC, who are helping us to analyze that report, because there are schools, some don't have teachers, some don't have equipment, some don't have resources. Some are good, as the honorable members were saying. And we are saying, once we've been able to analyze, and I believe HSRC will help us a great deal in that regard, we'll then be able to come forward and say, this is the need for this particular school, and this is the need for this particular sector, whether it's the deaf or the blind or physically disabled, what is it that needs to be done? And then we can work with different ministries and departments to ensure that the challenge is out there. And that we will also look at the report of the portfolio committee and try and see what are the challenges that have raised. As part of this report, I'm sure it will help us to address those challenges. The issue of equality bill DG will address, and the techno girls. The techno girls, honorable members, it was a pilot. It has only been started in 4 provinces: Limpopo, Gauteng, Northwest, and KZN. We're now rolling it out. We'll be launching it nationally in September. Very soon, we're working very closely with the project coordinators to launch it in other provinces. We are, at the moment, we're targeting children in standard 10. And that is a standard. Grade 8. I don't know what is what, but matric. Starting. Where you start matric. Yes, I come from the old school. But those kids who are starting their matric, those are the ones that are targeted, those that are good in maths and science, those that come from poor families, because your child and my child, I'm sure we can handle them, we can assist them. But there are children in the rural areas who have potential, who are brilliant, and maybe in our townships and so on, but are poor, and the parents cannot afford to take them to university and so on. So those children, we partner them with different companies, including mining companies, ICT, all those things that are technical, the air, the pilots, AXA, for instance, to Airlink, for instance, to ensure, because, as you know, the theme for the UN CSW this year was education and training, science and technology, ensuring decent work for women. And although we have reached parity in terms of the NDGs, we have more than 50% girls in the schools and high and university. They are still doing BA and humanities. Not many girls are doing sciences, technology, engineering. That is why we are now saying we want to promote STEM, which is science, engineering, technology, and math, as well as the Techno Girls Project. But I do accept, Honorable Member, that maybe we should go down, but we'll look at our resources and see what we can do. And or perhaps look at what other departments. I know the Minister of Science and Technology is doing a lot more with young girls and ensuring that they get into the sciences and technology sector. And we can do partnerships with those ministries. I think I will leave it there, and DG will look at the other issues. The National Machinery for Children, we are working with relevant departments, social development, SAPS and so on, but also NGOs, national NGOs. I am NGO, but national children's organizations, like Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, and so on, child welfare, and so on, that can really inform and advise the department on the status of children in South Africa. We're also working with the UN agencies like UNICEF, UNDP, who form part of that machinery. The course, DG will deal with that one. The report, yes, we will title the two reports on children, even if they are long, they are outdated. And I also want to just say that I hope that DG will answer on the quality bill, that we are doing a follow-up, hopefully during the 16 days this year. We'll go back to the Eastern Cape to look at Ukutwala. There have been a lot of improvements because of programs that were set up, both national, provincial government, the Premier's office, and the mayors working with the local chiefs in that area. But we'll go back again to monitor whether there has been any change, any progress for bettering the lives of those children, of those girls out there. Human trafficking bill, Chairperson, it has been tabled in Parliament. It is being championed by the Department of Justice, the Minister of Justice. I will follow up. I thought there were no problems going forward, but I will follow up, members. I'm not up to date in terms of where they are at this point in time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, Honorable Chair, members. I will just add, because Minister has talked about all.
Only 3 minutes.
3 minutes, okay.
Have I answered all?
The Minister has spoken about the universal accessibility campaign. I just want to add that this campaign is going to be launched during the Disability Awareness Month, which is November, starting on November 3 until December 3. And the issue of assistive devices, yes, it doesn't fall within our mandate, but how we come in is through the promotion of the rights of people with disability to access the assistive devices. But honorable members, please be aware that a wheelchair or whatever cannot just be given to a person. That is why Minister was emphasizing the fact that honorable members should work with the Department of Health, because there must be an assessment before whatever assistive device is being given. In the partnership that we have with AXA, we start there by assessing, and also we go with their therapist to do that. The issue of the audit of special schools, Minister is talking about that we are working with HSRC. We are envisaging that the final report will be tabled in March 2012 of the audit after we've analyzed and did everything. The Gender Equality Bill, I've spoken about it in my earlier presentation, and we are targeting March 2012 to table it to Cabinet. After all the processes that we would have done, we'll table it to Cabinet by March 2012. The Techno Girls program, there's just one thing that I would like to add, that we must remember that this program started being a one-day thing when CELC started the program, Take a Girl Child to Work. And we are now improving on that so that it is a sustainable project. And then we will roll it over to all the provinces. The Ugutwala Minister, our apologies that we may not have had time to update you. We are participating in an inter-sectoral committee. The Human Trafficking Bill, as you have said, is now at the final stages. It is with the Portfolio Committee of Justice, and as you've indicated, this is the mandate of the Department of Justice. However, we are participating in the intersectoral committee, so we are monitoring the progress in as far as that is concerned. The costs incurred by the department in the Tembale 2 project, there are no costs, direct costs, that were incurred by the department. However, there was money that was donated by the Chinese embassy to the department, amounting to 100,000. And then there was a condition attached to that donation that we can't use that money as a department, but we must use it to fund a program in the community, then to children with disabilities. Then we donated that money to Tembalate. That was our contribution. But there's no money that was coming from our budget directly. The NYDA mainstreaming disability, what we were saying, we've analyzed the National Youth Development Policy, and we realized that it was not talking to issues of disability. It was talking to issues of gender. However, it is not talking to issues of disability. Then those discussions were based on that, so that they mainstream disability within the National Youth Development Policy. The meetings, Minister has said, who is going to the Children's Rights Missionary, the outcomes in that meeting, for instance, we have legislation in place for children. For instance, the Children's Act, the Child Justice Act, and the Sexual Offences Act, but the problem is the implementation. And therefore, in the Children's Rights Missionary, we then came up with the National Plan of Action for Children, so that those legislations are being implemented, where we are coming up with the responsibility of each and every department. In that missionary meeting as well, there was the issue of age harmonization. As honorable members know, there is a discrepancy in our legislation, children's legislation, in as far as the majority age is concerned. The Children's Act is saying something about age. The other legislation is saying something. So we have this project that we are doing with the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund of trying to harmonize the age. We are working with the Department of Justice and Social Development, those that are hosting those pieces of legislation. Children's Day course, as a department, we are known that we don't have resources, and therefore we piggybacked on the Department of Social Development, and all the costs were carried by, were incurred by the Department of Social Development. I think that's the last question. DPG Mabena will talk about, will add on what the Minister has already said around the salary bills.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and DG. Honourable Chairperson, in adding to what the Minister said earlier when she was responding to the question of the balance, whether the balance is correct on our organisational structure, I would like to agree with the Minister that the balance is correct on our organisational structure, because we have developed the organisational structure of the Department in conjunction with the Department for Public Service and Administration. And therefore, that's why we have senior managers in the department being the ones which were prioritized, as the Minister said, based on our mandate. But we have agreed with National Treasury that the admin staff posts will be filled in 2012, because we were prioritizing the senior manager posts based on what we were required to do in this financial year. There was a question again on why administration budget is too high in the department. Members will remember that administration in any department is composed of the Office of the Minister and her staff, the Office of the DG and her staff, together with corporate services. Now, that makes the budget of administration as a program to look like it is more, it's higher than other programs in the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable members, I know that you still have a lot of questions, given the fact that, you know, the department has actually given us a lot of information. But however, we will still discuss as to how do we take this further, because I think there should be issues that you still need some clarifications on. But due to, you know, lack of time, it's unfortunate that we will have to take it up to here. And just to say to the department that we really, I for one, I appreciate to hear the fact that you are now coordinating, you know, sanitary towns, you know, because we were, I think it was questionable to each and every member to say, but what are you doing, how are you doing it, such a huge project. And given the fact that there are some, you know, in the reports, our oversight report, you know, when we're doing our oversight, we were not able to confirm some of, you know, the information that was sent to us in concerning distribution, you know, of sanitary towels. But we will still engage more on it. And also the reports, I think I agree that perhaps we should also give you our reports on oversight, so that you can also be able to pick up issues, you know, that you need to make a follow up on. And then also the audit on the special schools. Yes, we believe it's a, you know, it's very huge. And as we went around doing our oversight, we actually came across, you know, a lot of other special, you know, schools where the concerns were raised, which we were not able to engage with you now. But I must say that I must thank you again once more to say thank you for the information. We will go through the information and then we will decide how we, you know, we engage with you maybe on more on the information that was given to us. It was available. It's valuable information, and we hope that it's going to actually assist us a lot. Thanks, Minister. I don't know whether DG wanted to say something.
Sorry, Minister. I just wanted to request that we send the updated version to the Secretariat of the presentation that we are making today, and appeal to honourable members to discard all the other and concentrate on the one which is the latest version. It's a request.
Okay, thank you. Minister, did you want to say something?
No, just to thank the honourable members, and I hope that our presentation will be updated in time, next time. Thanks very much.
Thank you, members. The meeting is adjourned.